Shall we pray?
Precious and Holy Father, we bring our hearts before you, Lord. And we ask you, O God, to circumcise our hearts by the Holy Spirit. To circumcise our hearts, O God, in the true knowledge of your Son. That we will glory in Jesus Christ. That we will have a total confidence that is built out of the Spirit and life of Jesus. That we will have a total confidence, O God, that is built out of the faith of Jesus Christ, out of the love of Jesus Christ, out of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. And this nature, character, O God, this fullness of Jesus Christ will enable us to function in intimacy with the Holy Spirit so that we can realize, O God, the ministry that you have for us. What you are building into the altars of our heart is a humongous reality, Lord. A reality that is going to be developed in each one of us, O God, in all eternity, Lord. Because you are talking about a work that you mean to accomplish in our lives, not just in 5 years or 10 years, but in eternity, Lord. Because we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works you have ordained in each one of our lives. And it's an awesome purpose you have for us, Lord. So teach us to fix our eyes on you, Lord. Teach us, O God, to walk in an intimacy with the Holy Spirit so that our inward parts will be open to you, so that we will come to understand and know that you are at work with us, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are on the subject of moving into ministry. This is module 9 of our Bible school series. And we are starting from verse 4. We are talking about spiritual giftings. We are talking about functioning in partnership with the person of the Holy Spirit. With the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a him or a he. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. So verse 4 says there are varieties of gifts but the same Spirit. Or there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. So we all are called to discover the diversity or the variety of giftings that God has for us. Today you may be starting with what seemingly is a small gift. But always remember, God is in the process of building a diversity of giftings in each and every one of us. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, because God is not working the way we think he's working. Don't just think of things as they are now, but think of things as they will be as you grow in the Lord. God is life, and life is expressed in a groweth process. So the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of life, which automatically says that as you function in the Holy Spirit, that function in the Holy Spirit will grow. And therefore, the variety and the diversity of giftings that you will have by the Holy Spirit will grow. It will grow in God's timing for your life. Why does God do things differently in each one of us? Because he has a unique plan for each one of us. So don't get worked up about why he is more gifted than me. Don't worry about things like that. What you need to worry about is whether you are functioning by the Holy Spirit or not. The varieties and the diversity of gifts will come in their appointed time. And there are appointed times for each one of us. In all eternity, there are appointed times over our lives. And those appointed times will bring forth a variety of giftings into our lives, all right? So don't think that God has shortchanged you. He has not. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. I just want to cross-reference at this point to a passage of Scripture that we use to start this series. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here, the Holy Spirit through Peter merges brings together the gifting and the ministry. All right? So there are diversities of ministries. There are differences of ministries, or there are varieties of ministries. And the ministries are all involved with unfolding the gift that God has given you. So we all minister the gifts in different ways. And you must understand that you are not a copy of somebody else. Even if you function in what is classified as, say, the gift of knowledge, you will have a unique style of functioning in the gift of knowledge. If you have a gift of faith that the Lord wants to bring forth in your life and develop in your life, it will manifest in its unique way. All right? If you have a gift of prophecy, it will manifest in your life in a unique way. So don't get harried about why somebody does it this way and why somebody else does it another way. You need to understand that God will bring forth a variety and a diversity of giftings in ministry through your life. Yeah? You know that there is a fivefold ministry. And that fivefold ministry is made up of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. And they are meant to equip the body of Christ so that the body of Christ will minister. Will minister. All right? So all of us who are part and parcel of the body of Christ have a ministry. Have a ministry. And that ministry involves the gift that God has given you. I stand in a fivefold office, and that office in which I stand is also a gift. It's a gift, and that gift, I operate in a ministry. It's a ministry, all right? So it's a fivefold ministry, but the gift is operated through that ministry. I operate it in a unique style, others operate it in different styles, right? So no two prophets are the same. No two teachers are the same. No two teachers have the same message to teach. No two pastors pastor the same way. No two evangelists evangelize the same way. We are all unique individuals that God is building in a unique way. We are a unique creation in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. And when God builds us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, He builds us according to our response to who Jesus Christ is, according to our response to who God is, according to our response to who the Holy Spirit is. So it's a diverse and an awesome reality. So we all grow at different pace, at a different pace. We all grow in many different ways, all right? So there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So you minister the gift by the Holy Spirit in the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 is all about. We minister the gift by the Holy Spirit, and we minister it in the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We minister so that the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ is established in some person's life. That they come into the understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. The ultimate purpose of ministry is to make people understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if He is not Lord, we will perish. If He is not Lord in our heart, we will perish. Because we need His Lordship in order to live. We need Him to be preeminent in our hearts, in order for us to become all that God wants us to become. We live in the name of Jesus. We live in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We minister in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And we minister the gift that God has given us. We minister the gift that God has given us. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. And there are diversities of activities that's in the New King James. In the New American Standard it says, and there are varieties of effects. I don't like both those words, But if you go back to the old King James Bible, it says there are a variety or a diversity of operations. I like that word, operations. So you minister the gift and you operate. And you operate in a certain fashion that God will bring alive within you as you learn how to work with God to bring forth that ministry. And this is very important. You minister in the reality of the Lord your God. It's very important that you understand that. So here it says that you operate, and there are a diversity of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. This is God the Father. You operate before Him. You know, in Genesis chapter 17, God introduces Himself to Abraham, and He says, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. This is the key to operating before God. Walk before Him. Walk before Him means your heart must always be conscious that you are before God. And no matter what you do, you are before God. So walk before God and be blameless. If you choose to walk before God, God will ensure that you are blameless. It is quite a different picture from the religious picture we normally have. We think we must be good guys doing the right thing all the time. God says, just simply walk before me. If you make a mistake and you know you are before me, then you know that before me there is repentance. Repent. I will change you. And you pick up the pieces and you walk. If you have made a mistake, the world has not ended. I am still God. You know it in your heart. Repent. I will change you. Learn from your mistakes and walk in a new life. So you operate before God. You operate before God, and you operate before God from your heart. You operate before God from your heart. So keep your heart clean. Which means to say, when your heart becomes dull, when your heart feels a distance between you and God, then something has come between you and God. So seek the Lord, ask Him to wash you and to cleanse you, and to open that freedom and liberty of knowing that you stand before God. That's very important. You may not be able to understand why there is a distance. Sometimes it may be because there is a manifestation of some kind of a spiritual force of darkness against you. But whatever it is, sometimes it is because you have sinned. Sometimes it is because you have done something that God didn't ask you to do, or whatever it is, right? But when you sense that distance, you go before the Lord and you ask Him to remove that distance and to make you alive to Him. So it's all in your heart. Moving by the Holy Spirit is a heart reality. It is not a head reality. Moving by the Holy Spirit is a heart reality. But it is the same God who works all in all. Last week I said that word works is described in the Amplified Bible by two words, inspire and energize. Inspire and energize. So works here means to inspire and to energize. That's one of the reasons why we pray in tongues, so that we can energize things by the Holy Spirit, things that our mind can't comprehend, things that are hidden in God, realities that are hidden in God. And when you pray in tongues, you can energize those realities that you, in your natural mind, do not understand or know. You may see someone and the look of that person may turn you off. And yet you know God wants you to love that person. Now you can energize the love of God so that love of God will enable you to love that person and enable you to minister to that person. You may be faced with God giving you a vision that you don't understand. And you can turn to God and say, oh God, enable me to, by your Spirit, to energize your wisdom so that I can understand what on earth you are telling me. And as you keep that vision in your heart, God may open that vision to you the moment you start praying. Or it may take a few weeks or a few months, or it may even take a few years. depending on what God wants to tell you with that vision, or how radical a vision it is that God has given you. They say that a picture is 1,000 words. Right. Which means to say, when God gives you a vision, it may mean different things at different stages in your life. So you need to understand things from God. That's why it means you inspire and you energize. When God works something into you, He inspires you and He energizes inside of you a means by which you can function. Now you and I are all designed to function by God. That's why the Bible says you can know the Lord your God and you can come to love Him. So all of us have the capacity to function by God. It is inbuilt into us. It is inbuilt into us. What is it that is going to release that function inside of you? That is why you have to hear and understand and know the Word of God. Remember, we came back, in our basic teachings, I think it was in Module 2, being taught by God. It is said that when you hear the Word of God, right, when you come to the Word of God, you are first required to hear it and to understand it. Number 3, you are required to accept it. And number 4, you are to hold it in a good and honest heart and walk in it. Now the reason why you walk in the Word is so that that Word will become functional inside of you. As you walk in the Word, God will start using that Word to manifest form and function within you according to how He has designed you from the foundations of the world. Are you listening? God uses the Word to create. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, you are created in Christ Jesus. Right? You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for the good works He has ordained in your life. Or the good works He has ordained beforehand in your life. That is true for every one of us sitting here. That is true for all of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places. So what does it say? You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, so that you can walk into the good works that God has ordained over your life. Those good works are functions. Actual functions. Actual functions in thought, word, and deed. Actual functions that are manifested in your character, your nature, your thought processes. Your relationships. Every function is a big word. So He says He works it into you. So you operate before God because God is the one who has designed you. God your Father, He is the one who has designed you. You, as you really are, or you are really meant to be, are entirely in the heart of God the Father. We have fallen from that great purpose that God has for us. Now through Christ, by the Holy Spirit, we are being restored to that purpose. That's why I always say, be patient. Don't run ahead. This is not about a competition of who is going to be first and who is going to be second. Only carnal people of the world need to be first and second. Here you are, you live before a Father who has loved you from before the foundations of the world. He has known you from before your unformed substance. He has a purpose for your life in all eternity, and He had that purpose in eternity. And so you don't have to rush around with as if, you know, you are in a rat race. Move the cheese. You're not a rat. You know what that book means? That you are a rat and you're chasing after cheese. That's the implication of it. Who moved the cheese or something like that? Or move your cheese or whatever it is was the thought process behind it. The implication behind it is a rat chasing after cheese. Who else chases after cheese? So why do you want to be a rat? Is it some great accomplishment to be a rat? And so many intelligent people want to be rats. The word of God says you are sons. That you are strengthened with all power according to the Father's glorious might in all steadfastness and patience. That you are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might in all steadfastness and patience. Be patient. If God doesn't open the door, it's pointless you running forward and say, oh, it'll all work out. It's very hard to work out things when you have done them all the wrong way and learned worse still how to do them the wrong way. Right? So let God build the operation. Let God inspire you and let God energize the ability within you. Don't run. Don't run. There's enough ministry for you to do where you are. So praise the Lord. So you realize that in this simple illustration, in these three verses, you are functioning in a triune reality. The gift is made manifest by the Holy Spirit. The ministry stands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the operation of this ministry and the gift is entirely before God the Father. And God the Father ordains the entire working or the operation of this ministry gifting. Are you with me? That's why in John chapter 6 verse 45, Jesus says, you are all to be taught of God your Father. Let's turn to that. John chapter 6. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Comes to me. So we are all called to learn from the Father. There's nothing extraordinary about that. That is the way God wants to teach you. And because you are alive to Jesus Christ, you right now know that God has taught you in spite of the fact that you have not realized it. Isn't that nice? What does that tell you? That God can teach you even without you understanding you are being taught. In one of my early books, I was writing on the anointing and I came to a chapter called The Spirit of Knowledge. And for 2 months, I was writing stuff that I... And at the end of those 2 months, somewhere, what seemed like 2 months, I just stopped and told the Lord, this is a load of rubbish. What am I writing here? And then the Holy Spirit told me, go back and you start reading it through and I will give you the words to put inside of it. So over 4 hours, God put the words inside of it. I didn't change one comma. I didn't change one word. And by the end of it all, the whole thing made sense. I turned to the Lord and I said, who are you? You made me write something for 2 months that didn't make any sense to me. And then in one moment of time, you make it all into sense. Who are you? We're talking about God. So don't run ahead of Him. If He says wait, wait, and He has got good reasons to tell you to wait. Maybe He has to work out your character because He wants to teach you how to obey Him, how to be patient. Maybe He wants you to understand a few more things. Don't run ahead of Him. He knows exactly what He is doing. Don't think you will be shortchanged. That is the carnal system of the world. In the carnal system of the world, we are always competing for resources. And if you don't grab it first, you will lose it. That's what the world system teaches. In the kingdom of God, God is the provider. And God, who is the provider, has the capacity to provide infinitely. There is no shortage of anything. There are no shortage of giftings. There are no shortage of anointings. There is no shortage of purpose. So there is no need to rush around like as if you are a rat in a rat race. So get out of it. And let God build you. Let God build you. The first thing you need to understand before you can move in the giftings and the ministries is that you must know God's word. Because you must operate the gift according to God's word. You need God's word to tell you what is right and what is wrong. You can't just think that because I think it is right and it sounds good to me, therefore it is right. No, that's not so. If you think like that, you're going to be in trouble. So you need to understand God's word and you need to apply God's word as you apply your gift. It's a learning process. A gift of healing is not just simply manifesting healing. It is manifesting God's word in the context of healing. In fact, the Bible says he sent forth his word and he healed them. He sent forth his word and he delivered them. So it is not just merely operating a spiritual gift. It is not merely having the word of knowledge and you see a vision. So how do you interpret that vision? If you don't have the word, how are you going to understand that vision in accordance with God's word? Because you can take a vision and you can interpret it any way you want. What is the right way? How do you know what is right and what is wrong? That's what it means, operation. Right? When operation means you must know and understand that what you are doing is what God wants done. When you go into a job in the natural world, you have to learn how a company operates, isn't it? Especially if you work in a big company, it's got established procedures, established methods, and you just have to learn those things and fall in line. While there are some similarities with the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, you've got freedom and liberty to think and grow as God opens the word of God and the word of God creates. And as the word of God creates, your ability to function in your gift will rise and rise and rise and rise into the mount of the Lord. Are you listening? So your gift, it may be called a gift of knowledge. You can operate it 6 inches off the ground, or you can operate it in the heavenly places. Six inches off the ground, you will be like a chicken chasing after the worm and thinking that once it's found the worm, it's found the greatest thing in all creation. Or you can soar like an eagle and you have a totally different perspective of things. Yeah? I'm talking about spiritual realities. The word of God is highly spiritual. It is spiritual. The word of God is meant to be described to you, and I'm talking about teachings we have done before. It's meant to be communicated to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does the spirit of prophecy mean? Prophecy means fulfillment, that which God wants to fulfill. So when God gives you a gift, he's not just simply giving you a gift. He's got a purpose behind that gift, and he's got a calling behind that gift. He's got a ministry behind that gift, and there is a fulfillment potential in all of those realities. Are you with me? And God wants to fashion and form you so that you will grow and grow step by step into it. Make your mistakes, learn from the mistakes. Understand the word of God as you make those mistakes. Repent, change, and go forth. And God trains his sons. He creates his sons that way. It's a process. It's a process. It's a whole operation, right? You have a computer system, right? You may have powerful programs, but if the operating system is not in tune, it doesn't make any sense. You can't go anywhere. So that operating system is your heart. What is your heart before God? What is the nature of your heart? What does your heart want done? What are its hidden agendas? Are they in line with God's will or God's word? Surely you understand that that which is not in line with God's word is not going to bless you. That which is not in God's will for your life is not going to bless you. So if you don't know God's will, then wait. Some people, of course, are afraid of God's will. If you have that problem, then you address it with the Lord and say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to trust you. Hello. Yeah. Why do you think people are terrified of God's will? Because they have in their back of their mind this picture of God that he's waiting with a sledgehammer. Every time they make a mistake, he will come whack on their fingers and the fingers get smashed. You want to bet? So many people think like that. That's a picture of the devil, by the way. That's not a picture of God the Father. Yeah. So many people are afraid. They're afraid to walk into the things of God in case God may demand of them things that they can't give. God is not going to demand of you that which he has not prepared you to give. You have every right to turn around and ask the Lord, I can't do that. You have to teach me how to do that. You have every right to turn around to the Lord and say, Lord, if I'm going to do that, I need to love you like that. And I don't love you like that. Can you make me love you like that? Hello? God is inviting you to relationship. Relationship with the Creator God. Relationship with the God who heals. Relationship with the God who provides. Relationship with the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. Relationship with the Most High God. Relationship with God your Maker. Relationship with God who is your peace. Relationship with God who is your righteousness. Relationship with God who is always there. That's why in Module 8 we went through the names of God, to tell you that God is there in order for you to discover him. And when you discover him, you will find new functions in him. Hello? If you could operate the gift of the word of knowledge and understand that God is your creator, you know what you can bring forth out of that word of knowledge? Or rather, the word of wisdom. Maybe you can manifest actually the creative works of God. But you must know God the Creator. Yeah. So living by God is a very exciting possibility. It's an amazing reality. So in these three verses, God is really opening to you a whole universe of function. And it involves all three persons of the Trinity. There's no such thing as moving by the Holy Spirit in a vacuum. No such thing. Absolutely, it doesn't exist. Whenever you move by the Holy Spirit, you move in the name of Jesus and you move before the Father. Your heart is always anchored on God the Father. That he has a will and a purpose over your life. Even if you make a mistake, you know that the intent in your heart is to do what God wants you to do. If you've made a mistake, no big problem. God will teach you. Yeah? But watch over your heart. For from your heart flow the springs of life. Praise the Lord. Now what part, okay? Just understand that the diversity of operations are manifested by the same God who works all in all, completely, comprehensively. All right? Right? All in all. God is talking about a total system. It's a total functionality. These may be three short verses, but God is talking about a total functionality. And you and I need to function. Christianity is not just about coming to church, attending church, fulfilling a religious obligation. The Christian faith, the purpose of salvation is to enable you to function in and by and through God forever and forever. The Holy Spirit is the one who is going to energize that function. But that function is going to be defined in God the Word. And that function is going to stand before the heart of God the Father. Walk before me and be blameless. Choose to walk before me. Don't run away from me. I am your God. I am your Father. Remember the name Yahweh Elohika? When God manifested himself, he manifested himself with the intent of being a personal God to each and every one of us. That's what Yahweh Elohika means. God wants a personal relationship with you. That is his will. That is his deepest desire. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand him. He wants you to be before him at all times. Yahweh Elohika. And so he introduces himself as Yahweh Elohe, the reality of him being your God, personally your God. So he presents you with his will. His will is that you discover him as your God. And Yahweh Elohe is when you would have realized that he is your God. Yahweh Eloheinu, that you are amongst a body to whom God is Yahweh Elohe, to each and every one of them. So value the people you are with. They are all part of a humongous plan of God. You are not the only thing in the universe. You are not God's only son. You are one amongst many. And one of the things about Christian maturity is understanding that you are part of many. We come from a system which stresses the individual. God is building a system that stresses the collective without destroying the individual. You listening? Yeah? Very important for you to understand that. Okay. I just want to talk about your inward spiritual senses first, okay? Operations, all right? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, I think. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 13 and verse 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is an action word. What does righteousness mean? Right action. The ability to do something right. Right? Life has taught us that we very rarely know how to do something right. Am I right? Is that a fair? Right? So God tells you there is something called the word of righteousness. And he says the word of righteousness is not for a babe. The word of righteousness is teaching, is the word that enables you to do something that is right. I want you to catch something here. It is only through the word that you will realize how to do something right, all right? Now, this is why in module 3 and module 4, we talk about revelation knowledge that comes out of God's word. You can't learn things in the Bible from head knowledge. It comes by revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that impacts your heart. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that becomes part and parcel of that heart of flesh that God is creating within you. Remember when we started this series on moving into ministries, we said that we are ministers of the new covenant. The new covenant is in your heart. And then it manifests in your imaginative mind, not your logical mind. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind. The Greek word for mind there is dianoia, not dialogismos. Dialogismos is your logical mind. Dianoia is your imaginative mind, the mind that functions by faith. All right? So the word of righteousness is manifested, right, to enable you to do something that is right. And God is telling you a very powerful truth in this simple phrase, word of righteousness. Only out of the word will you understand righteousness. Only out of the practice of the word can you realize a reality of doing something right. Are you listening? It's not going to come out of wishful thinking. It's not going to come out of emotional thinking. Yeah? Many people think, oh, pastor, just lay your hands upon me, release the anointing, and I'll be fine. Without the word, what do you want the anointing to move in? So God gives you the enabling. If you don't know what the enabling means, how on earth are you going to use it? Remember, the word of God is made up of spirit and life. Yeah? So that spirit part is the anointing. But if you don't have the life part, what are you going to walk into? What are you going to live it in? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to express it? Yeah, the anointing has its place, but without the word of God, you ain't going anywhere with the anointing. Lucifer was anointed. Anointed and anointed and gifted and gifted and gifted. What happened? He did things all the wrong way, isn't it? The anointings worked. The giftings worked. But everything was wrong. So one third of the angels were so impressed with him. He even said, I will make myself like the Most High God. The Bible says that he was dismissed from God's presence at the speed of lightning. He and one third of the angels, millions of them, he was thinking of going to be God. And then he found out how great God was. Just imagine God could dismiss him and his angels at one third at the speed of lightning. Only then did he understand that all that he had done was all upside down. He had done many things, but they were all wrong. So what have we learned from our lives? We have done many things in our lives. We've been many places. We have done many things, said this is the right way. What have you learned from life? That we don't know how to do the right thing. Is that a fair conclusion? Sometimes when I look back at my life, it was like out of luck only I did something right. If you have done something right, then it would be bearing testimony to you in the abiding. All right, so everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, this is important because when you operate before God, you must operate before God in righteousness. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Notice that he uses the word senses. That the word of righteousness actually builds your inward spiritual senses. Inward spiritual senses are those senses that enable you to relate to what God is telling you. Sometimes you find, like when you're doing something or you want to do something, it is like there is a stone in your insides. You know, it's like a big red light saying, don't do it. You feel uncomfortable. You feel unhappy. Right? That's the beginning of something called your inward spiritual senses. At other times, everything around you is turning upside down, but inside you have tremendous peace. That's God telling you, I'm still in charge. And I'm doing something through all of that turmoil. Inward spiritual senses can also manifest tremendous power. I just want to show you a couple of realities, all right? Let's turn to the book of Mark. Inward spiritual senses. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion. Now the Greek word for compassion there is a Greek word called splachna. And splachna literally means bowels. Where are your bowels? Right down here, right? So instead of saying that Jesus was moved with his bowels, they turned around and they put it compassion, okay? Because they could not express it in language. But what it's telling you is something spiritual. Jesus was moved in his inward spiritual senses, right? He was moved in such a way, right? Right? That he reached out and he touched this man. So it says, and moved with splachna, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What are you seeing here? Righteousness manifested in healing to set the leper free. Are you listening? Where did the move of God come? It came from inside of him. Right? It moved him. Let's call it compassion. Right? But compassion is a sensory reality. I'm not talking about emotional reality, okay? I'm talking about a sensory reality. Right inside, in the pit of his stomach. Right? He was moved by a sensory reality and the leper was healed. All right? Okay? Praise the Lord. Let's look at another reality. Mark chapter 6, from verse 32. Mark chapter 6, verse 32. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. And the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and they ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude, and he felt splachna. Okay? Greek word splachna, bowels. Right? So it's translated as he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Now it manifests in a teaching. Listening? So when God talks about inward spiritual senses, he's not just simply talking about some airy-fairy emotional stuff that we have. Right? He's talking about solid stuff that God wants to move through us. So in this case, when God moved in the inner parts of Jesus Christ, out came teaching. Out came teaching. And you realize that it involved Jesus Christ relating to the people whom he saw. He saw them as a people without a shepherd. They were lost people. And as he responded to their needs before God, right? Because he's standing before God, God moved his insides and out came the teaching that would bless these people. Listening? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of John. We don't see the same word, Greek word, splachna, but we see Jesus Christ moved in his insides, right? John chapter 11, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Why do you think he was troubled? I think because they were so without hope. They were so without hope. Here were the chosen people of God, chosen for a great purpose, and they seemed so lost. 2,000 years after Abraham and Abraham's promises, they were standing lost. But Jesus was stirred in his spirit. The next verse says that he wept. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again being deeply moved within. See? Something was happening. Something that is one of those mysteries of God. Something within him before God was happening. God was preparing him to do the miracle. Right? Are you with me? Yeah. Now this is why we need to love our neighbor. Because ultimately, if you're going to move in ministry into the deeper things of God, you must actually have an actual compassion for people. You can't just cook it up like a magician cooks up a magic act. We are not called to be magicians. We are called to be people who relate to people who are brokenhearted. If we are not moved by the state of man, if we are not moved with compassion for people, then you're not going to be very much of a minister. That's why when we do teaching in this ministry, I talk about dealing with your hurts, because your hurts result in certain parts of your being entirely shut out from everything. And you can't function as a quarter person. So you have to deal with your hurts in the past. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to minister to someone. That's why the truth must set you free. You must get healed. You can't sit down there and have anger towards your brother, because it'll start manifesting. And anger will attract the wrong spirit. Right? Hello. Anger is like a channel for the wrong spirit to move. Who is full of anger? Satan is full of anger. Right? Let me show you a verse. Ezekiel. Chapter 28, verse 16. This is talking about Satan, okay? I mean, Lucifer. You had the seal of perfection, verse 12. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, verse 13. Look at verse 16. Verse 15, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Right? By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mount of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Yeah? Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. Do you understand where Satan fell? He fell from inside. Unrighteousness. What is God doing? He's building your inward spiritual senses through the word of righteousness. Can you see that? Right? So that your insides will be right before God. Right? Walk before me and be blameless. That is a reality that is manifested in you through the word of righteousness. Can you walk before God and be blameless? Yes, you can. If you allow God's word to manifest in your heart. If you understand that you are the product of God's righteousness. If you keep on saying that I am going to be the product of my righteousness, then you will sin. Do you know that a lot of the occult religions are based on self-righteousness? Hello. Right? And some of them can do extraordinary things in the name of self-righteousness. Right? They can fast for extraordinary periods of time. They can sit in a position and spend months together on that same position without moving a hair. But that's not what God wants. Why? Because there's no blooming purpose in not moving a hair. What are you trying to achieve? Same as there is no blooming purpose in a statue drinking milk. What are you going to achieve with a statue drinking milk? That's what the Bible calls false miracles. Miracles that have got no purpose to them. They're just magician's tricks. Super spiritual tricks. But they mean nothing. So you can pull a car with your hair. What is it going to achieve? What are you going to do with that? You understand what I'm saying? It's a useless act. What are you trying to prove? You pull a tractor with your hair. What does it do for humanity? Does it transform anyone's life? Does it make anyone a better person? Yeah? It's a manifestation of power, but it's a wrong manifestation of power. Can you see that? Yeah. All right. Verse 41, chapter 11 of John. John chapter 11, verse 41. And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Again, that is an inward spiritual sense. He knew that God will always hear him. In the same way, when you pray for someone, you will know that that person is healed. Yeah? When you preach a message, you will know whether the message comes from God or it comes from something else. Yeah? So you can hear someone preach and you can know from your insides whether he's bluffing or he's... Right? As you mature in the Lord, you will find that you can be seen. All right? People can know whether you're bluffing or whether you're pulling a fast one or whether you're doing it the real way. You can't bluff it. Why? Because people, as they hear and realize the word of God, they will be able to discern, because their inward parts will jar. When the person says something, it will jar on the inside. So I've had people come and tell me, Pastor, you should not have said that. And I know I should not have said that, because it jarred in their insides. And the moment I preached it, it also jarred in my insides. But unfortunately, when you speak out something, you can't take it back. Right? So you have to correct it before it comes out of your big mouth, isn't it? Right, so if you don't do it, it's too late. Right? Yeah. So that's why you've got to learn how to be patient, and you've got to learn how not to be worked up. Right? So that, because God wants you to have peace. Because if you don't rest in God and you don't have that peace, you cannot bring forth the message that God wants you to bring forth. So if you're prophesying and you're manifesting the word of knowledge, and you just quarreled with your wife and your insides are churning with anger, and you use your gift, what do you think you're going to do? Yeah? You're going to manifest something that's going to hurt somebody very bad. It will come out automatically. Yeah? Praise the Lord. So let's turn to another verse that talks about the inward spiritual senses. Isaiah 54. Can you begin to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Verse 10. Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Peace is a covenant. It is one of the most powerful inward realities that you can have. How do you know that you are walking before God? When you have that peace that says that you are before God. Are you with me? It's very important for you to know these things because God talks to you from the insides. Why does He talk to you through your inward spiritual senses? Because our thought flows are subject to interpretation. Your spiritual senses are not. If your insides are troubled, they are troubled. Something is wrong. You may not be able to understand what is wrong, but at least you will have the common sense to say, wait, let's not go about with this. Yeah? Let's wait. I may not understand what on earth is happening. Most of the time we don't understand what God is doing. But He does give us these things and you know, don't do this. You know. Everything in your head may be saying, why not? It's a good idea. It's a great idea. We can do this and we can do that and we can do the other. But all that is inside of you is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Right? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So your inward spiritual senses. What are we describing here? We are describing an inward operating system, okay? Just as computers have operating systems, you have an operating system before God. It involves your heart. It involves your inward spiritual senses. It involves your inward spiritual senses. All right. One more verse. Exodus. Chapter 28. Verse 2 and 3. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. Now garments in the New Testament, or garments in the prophetic book of Isaiah, talks about garments of salvation. Right? Garments of salvation. And your garments of salvation are designed, right, for beauty and for glory. For beauty and for glory. All right? And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. Right? So the garments of your salvation is something that God is constructing on each and every one of us. Garments of salvation. All right? That's a big subject. I don't want to go into it. I just want to tell you that part of those garments of salvation includes things that the priest wore. Verse 29 and 30. I wrote a book on this, actually, the garments. Verse 15, for instance, says, and you shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman, like the work of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen you shall make it. And I actually wrote something on this, on these things in pretty much detail. I don't want to go through it because the breastpiece of judgment is what your inward spiritual senses are all about. It's the basic framework for your inward spiritual senses. Now, within this breast piece of judgment, verse 30, and you shall put in the breast piece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord accordingly. Verse 29, and Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we celebrate a memorial, right? Jesus says, remember me. Right? And that remembrance involves the body of Christ that we are involved with. It involves your ministry to the body of Christ. Are you with me? Now the Urim and the Thummim, if you have a study Bible, you will find it footnoted as lights and perfections. Lights and perfections. What has that got to do with the Word of God? When the Word of God is revealed to you, it manifests light. So the Word of Righteousness, when it's revealed to you, when it becomes a revelation that is manifested inside of you, it manifests light. Perfections is when you walk in that light, and that light is perfected into functions that you realize through that Word. So God enables that functionality within you. That's what is called the Urim and the Thummim. That's the prophetic reality of the Urim and the Thummim. Now all these things are now being built into us online. That's where Hebrews is coming from. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. That you can sense good and evil with your inward spiritual senses. Are you with me? Now these were symbolized in the clothing that Aaron wore. All right, we're going to stop there. All right, we're going to stop there. So you understand that the Bible is all tied up. Huh? It's all tied up, Old Testament, New Testament. And it's tied up very powerfully, and it has an application in your life. And that's what I want you to really understand today. When the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, it means you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But right now you don't understand how you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That reality of you being fearfully and wonderfully made is in the heart of God your Father. And one of the realities in which God is going to show you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and enable you to appreciate what God is doing with you is through your ministry. So God is going to give you a gift mix. That gift mix is going to be manifested through a ministry. And that ministry is going to be manifested through an operation from your insides, okay? You're going to learn how to function by God. It is fundamental to you being a Christian. It is fundamental to you learning how to live. When Jesus says, I am the life, this is what he means, I am the life. Praise the Lord. Now all these things we are going to learn. You realize that these things cannot be learned in 1 year in sitting in a college, or 2 years, or 3 years. These are lifetime learnings, right? So don't take this to absurd limits and say, oh my goodness, how is this going to manifest? It's going to manifest over many, 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 many years. In fact, it's going to manifest in all eternity, all right? But the process has already begun. When you were born again, God opened your inward spiritual senses supernaturally. And you knew certain things were right, certain things were wrong. God gave you a desire for things that were right, that you never wanted to do before. Right? So a process has begun. It's a creative process. You need to understand it is there. And don't get worked up if you don't understand what it's all leading to. Right? In time, God will use the Word to define these things inside of you. All right, so be patient and wait on the Lord and understand that God has a great purpose for your life, meaning that when you start with your ministry doing simple things, don't get airy-fairy ideas about how super anointed you are. do your ministry in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do it for the Lord. Learn how to give Him the glory. Be grateful. When you're not grateful, take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you did a wonderful thing for me, but my heart is not grateful for it at all. In fact, there's a part of me that says I deserve it. Hello, all of us have such a person inside of us. Yeah? Yes. Yeah? There's a part of me that just wants all this for I, me, my, and mine. Right? Sure, you have it. I have it. So it has to be dealt with, because if you don't deal with it, it's going to kill you. Who is going to deal with it? God is going to deal with it. Yeah? But you need to understand that it's there. Yeah? And walk into it. So this reality of operations is very, very valuable, very, very powerful. Many people know their ministry, know their anointing and their giftings, but they don't know the way God operates. That's where they fail. They fail in their nature and their character, because their nature and their character are part of their insides. Your operating system is made up of your nature and your character. And if you don't deal with your nature and your character, that's going to destroy you. So he talks about Lucifer, you are internally filled with violence. Why violence? Because he was trying to manage something and he began to realize it was bigger than him. But he had this reality that he was like a god. The violence came about because he realized that he could not hold these things together. Sometimes you find that there are preacher men who build big ministries and then they can't hold it together. And then everything starts breaking loose. The scoldings come out of the pulpit, you know, so and so is wrong, and people start being thrown out of the ministry. Why? Because they can't manage the whole thing. Violence. Where is the violence? On the inside. So for heaven's sake, let God build the ministry. For heaven's sake, let God build the ministry. Because if he builds it, he'll hold it together. You build it, brother, one day you're going to find that you can't hold it. One guy started passing electric currents down the carpet so that people will feel the anointing when they answered the altar call. Hello. Right? Hello. Okay? Yeah, you wonder how preacher men can do these kind of things. Yeah. It's happened. Then people started having false witnesses, people who would pretend that they are healed miraculously. Why? In order to keep the television ratings going. Yeah, so don't play games with God. That which is not built in the name of Jesus will come tumbling down. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Thank God for that, actually. We don't want any more Lucys around. One big one is enough. He's taken enough of our lives. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, you're doing an awesome work within us, a creative work. A creative work that you have designed from the foundations of the world. Your word clearly says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We begin to appreciate that the process of salvation that is a creative process within us is truly an expression, O God, of an awesome reality of your great love, your great patience, your labor of love in us. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for what Jesus has given us. We thank you for the kind intentions of your will, Father. We thank you that the mystery of your will results in us being blessed in awesome terms. Teach us, O Lord, to have our inward spiritual senses operating in the right way before you. Teach us to cultivate that peace that passeth all understanding, and to just trust in you, Lord. Because when we trust you, we have peace. When we trust you, O God, we are able to overcome difficulties. We are able, O God, to see the triumph of our God in our lives. So many things you mean to teach us, because your purposes with us are far beyond our intelligence, far beyond our talents. Your purposes with us stretch into all eternity. We thank you for the awesome work begun. Bless the church, Lord, that we will appreciate that we should wait upon you and let you do the work that only you know that you are doing, Lord. Because you alone are the creator. There is no one else besides you. So bless us to truly wait upon you and let you do the work inside of us, to mold us and to shape us and to fashion us and to form us so that we become the vessels that you want us to be. Teach us not to think that these things are not for us, Lord, that they are beyond our intelligence, Lord, because everything in the scripture is actually beyond our intelligence. But Lord, you are doing a work in us. You are teaching us to understand. You are teaching us to know. You are teaching us, O God, to appreciate. You are teaching us to act. You are teaching us, O God, to do the right thing. So that right thing, doing the right thing, is what the operations are all about. So it's so crucial, Father, that we know how to do things the right way. Lessons we have learned in our lives, teach us those lessons, that we will not forget, that we will take hold of you, that we will cling to you and draw from you what you're giving us, because what you're giving us is an awesome treasure, Lord. The ability to do all things right before you. So bless us, O God, in our insides. Bless the church, Lord, that we will always, O God, know and understand that only you can lead us and direct us in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Bless the church in this reality. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.